death, the harsh reality that we all must face. Death, waiting for our turn to lay in a coffin for the world to see, hands folded, our Sunday best, only to be put in the ground, sealed from the elements, as if the world will protect us and our physical bodies will never decay. Death, it could come as a quick instant, barely recognizable to our conscious mind, or it may be a long process, taking days, months, or even years. Secular poets have done their best to wax over this harsh reality with rhyme and song. They labor to make the passing more palatable to the people in the throes of death and those left behind, giving comfort to those who mourn with thoughts of water, wind, and fire, as if the earth and its elements are giving comfort to a person that has evolved from the midst. The world doesn't get it. They don't understand the reality and the ultimate futility of the life they continue to engage. Law, medicine, ethics, commerce, movements all search for a way to bring order to what was lost in the fall of mankind. The culture of death, original sin, has engulfed their lives, affecting all their actions, thoughts, and feelings. Death is not understood, cannot be stopped, and continues to plague our lives. The world searches far and wide for some comfort in their ultimate demise, developing rituals, rubrics, and even secular liturgies to try to find some comfort, peace, and solace. Doves being released, sappy music, mystic thoughts and fond memories, talk of angels in heaven, all trying to give comfort to those who are still alive, trying to give comfort to those who grieve the loss of their family member. The Reformers got it. It's what we celebrate yearly on Reformation Day. We preach about it on All Saints Day. We find comfort in it as we remember those among us who have died, as we celebrate the commemoration of the faithfully departed. The scriptures are clear about our fate, our life, our future, and our hope. The culture of life found in the presence of Jesus Christ is the only solution to death and the only comfort in life. We must always remember the death and resurrection of our Lord. Through death, the church passes from this earthly life to eternal life. From the constraints of time to eternity, we will go. From sin, sorrow, and pain into the feast of heaven. Christianity will never find comfort in flying doves, music, or mystic thoughts tied to memories of the dead. For the church, for the believer, it is quite simple: a font, an altar, and a pulpit. You, men preparing to serve the church around the world, you will have the solution to help the desperate gasps of a world dying in sin. The lawyer can never litigate a person out of death. The sin has convicted the sinner, condemned the sinner, and taken the sinner from life into death. The doctor cannot cure the sinner's end. Medication or rest can never stop death. Death will come, regardless of some earthly cure. The pastor impacts the life of the sinner through the means the Lord has provided. It is the cleansing, daily washing of baptism, the medicine of immortality from the Lamb's high feast, the word of Christ proclaimed that cures those who have been condemned by sin. Christ, through his sacred gifts, redeems the sinner. Death is not a part of the creation, but part of the fall of mankind. Death is the consequence of sin, the final consequence of the law. Everyone is subject to its wrath. One of the hymn writer writes, "All righteousness by works is vain, the law brings condemnation. True righteousness by faith I gain, Christ's work is my salvation." His death, that perfect sacrifice, has paid the all-sufficient price. In him, my hope is anchored. John 5 has been used for centuries in many corners of the Christian church as the text for funerals. Our Lord speaks directly to the resurrection of the dead at the end of life's days. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. But this isn't some future reality, something that will happen to those who have departed this life in the future. Heaven is not bound by our time. There is no beginning or end. This is the present reality for those who have died, our brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, parents, and grandparents are in heaven. Christ assures this. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Those who die in Christ have already passed from death into life. It is in this present reality that we remember those who have died in the faith of the church. Not that we hope they will be in heaven, or we think that they will be in heaven, but they are in heaven. For much of the Reformed Church, for the Roman Church, the reality of the present heaven cannot be proclaimed clearly for those who have died. They will point to righteous living, good works, and purgatory. Yet all these things cloud the assurance of salvation for the deceased, giving little comfort or peace to those who mourn. Yes, those who mourn might have shallow hope. They might have some actions to look at, but the reality of eternal life cannot be assured outside of Jesus Christ. What strength and comfort we have in Christ! It is not by our action, by our ability, that we find our salvation and comfort. We have comfort knowing that those who have died in their language of the world, the culture that they inherited, the culture of death, has been changed to the language of the Scriptures, the language of the Psalter, the language of the liturgy. Indeed, the Lord has opened their dead lips. And by that action, the dead now proclaim his faithfulness into eternity. The dead are made alive, and they see. They are alive in the heavens, singing with the angels and the archangels, the saints and the martyrs. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, they proclaim. No longer a thin veil between heaven and earth as we must endure, but the reality of the presence of the Holy Trinity. And today, on this feast, we proclaim with them, those who have faithfully departed, and with each other, the love we have, thanks to Jesus Christ. As the psalmist puts it, O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.